the goal at the end of the day. It's really to benefit architects, engineers, developers, and contractors.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
All right, Kevin, I'm excited for this one because we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Jayshree Shah, who helps run the marketing and information gathering for the American Institute of Steel Construction. And I really think this is one that's very, very relevant in today's glass house and modern design that you're seeing all across the board, is that everybody wants the glass house, but you got to hold up the wall somehow, right?
No, absolutely. And I'm really interested to hear her perspective on that, because she is a licensed architect, she's got a design background, and working through this organization and really thought-provoking ideas that she's got. And we happened to meet her at the AIA convention in Philadelphia and saw her present in this hackathon, which we'll, I'm sure, get into, which was really amazing. And for those listening, it's very much like you what you would see in the Shark Tank or something like that, where people are trying to present their business ideas and come up with a strategy that then a panel decides who's the winner. And she was on the winning team. So real excited to hear everything she has to say about that process as well. So
definitely. And I had never heard of a hackathon, because I think it's not something talked a lot about in the construction industry. But you got to get credit where credit is due, is that Rosa Shang invited us through the Entree Architect, which is this whole community we're meeting and getting to know people through the art of construction. She invited us to her happy hour event that was kind of celebrating this. That sounds like in the tech and business startup, it's a very common thing, but not in the construction. So cross-pollinating different ideas and concepts is really cool. So we'll make sure we ask her questions and have her tell us the story about the hackathon and what she does with steel for the construction industry. So let's dive in and have a chat with Jayshree. But first, as always, I'm Devin Tilley, the president and owner of Mountain View Window and Door by day.
And I'm Kevin Keefe, chief relationship officer and sales consultant with Mountain View Window and Door.
Here we go. So what's your favorite beverage?
Oh, good question. I love anything that's sparkling. So sparkling lemonade, sparkling juice, but it's got to be the good stuff, like with fresh squeezed lemons, not bottled. So, yeah.
Gotcha. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
So many choices. I've done a fair amount of international travel, but I think my favorite place is Costa Rica. The weather is amazing, the food is great, and the people are really nice over there. There's a lot of exploring you can do, activities. I did whitewater rafting with my friends after we graduated from college. We just really went around the entire place, and it's a great environment. I'd recommend anybody go there.
Awesome.
So you went whitewater rafting in Costa Rica?
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunities. It rains so much, but you should never be afraid to go during rainy season, because it's only a few hours out of the day. We went whitewater rafting on what was supposed to be like a level 1, 2, and 3, which is, level 1 is basically flat water, but after rains, it was maybe closer to a level 3 or 4. So for beginner whitewater rafters, it was a little tough. But really fun, really wild. I sat first thing in the front, and I had a great time. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So what's your favorite hobby or interest when you're not in the construction arena?
Well, I've got a little boy at home who I adore to death. He's just turned 2, and he's into everything. So as much as I can right now, I try and spend as much time playing with him and showing him new things and spending time with my husband. We also just bought a very old house, nearly 100 years old, so we're trying to fix it up and learn about what we can and cannot do with it. So, yeah, that's my hobby right now, I guess.
That'll keep you busy.
Definitely.
Yeah, no kidding. Not much time to sleep. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. So we got to know a little bit about Jayshree Shah, who is a licensed AIA architect. Tell us about what you do as a technical marketing representative with the American Institute of Steel Construction.
Oh, that's a full-worded mouthful. It's a good question. It's a role that's still developing here at AIA. We'll just call it AISC for short. basically, I am their only architect on staff. And what I'm doing here is bringing in that perspective to what's normally a lot of content and resources we provide to structural engineers. And it's basically anything you can think of for using structural steel for buildings, for projects, and bridges. But what I'm doing is kind of translating that to an architect's perspective. So I talk about concepts. I bring up challenges of using steel for, like, residential buildings, which is not normally something that people think of. So it's sort of changing the mindset, but also looking at the creative side of using what's normally a technical product or technical design, but in a conceptual way. And our goal at the end of the day is really to boost the market share of steel and to encourage the design industry, the construction industry, to use AISC, which is a not-for-profit, as a resource for anything to do with structural steel in the U.S.
Perfect. So I'd like to let the listeners peel back a few layers about Jayshree as far as before you did this. I love the fact that your background coming into the AISC. What did you do before that so our listeners can understand your background?
Sure. Well, I am one of the only architects, I think maybe the only architect in my family. So it was definitely a new experience for everybody, including myself, to understand what architects do. After I graduated from college, I came up to Chicago and I worked for a pretty large international firm here, Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, for nearly 6 years. When I started, everything was going great. And then we went through the Great Recession in 2007, 2008. So that was a little rough. I got to see a lot of things change in the company and our industry. It kind of gave me a reality check. I felt like it was good to diversify my background eventually, but we made it through the hurdle. I stuck with SOM for a few more years after that, and then I worked at a small boutique design firm in the city on some great projects locally after that, and then joined AISC. And again, like I said, it's kind of been, let me see where life takes me a little bit. I'm not shy about trying new things, and to me, architecture is great, but I think there's so many things involved with being an architect that learning more about how buildings are constructed and how marketing works in terms of creating buildings, it all brings a new perspective. And that's sort of tied into a lot of what I wanted to get out of the Equity by Design program at AIA and networking at AIA, just broadening what I know how to do and what others can help teach me.
Hello.
Hi, is this Art of Construction?
Yeah, it sure is.
Hi, I saw one of your podcasts on Facebook, listened to it, and I had to go back and listen to every single one of the other ones. So far, it's helped my business a lot, and I'd love to learn how to help my business grow even more by being on your podcast.
We're always looking for great guests. All you need to do is go to theartofconstruction.net and go to the contact tab, and then we'll contact you, and we'll have a dialogue to see if it's a good fit.
That's great. I look forward to hearing from you guys.
And it's really just that easy, folks. This is Devin here, and what we do is have a fireside chat, an hour of your time. You can come into our brand new state-of-the-art studio MVWD, or we can set you up through Skype. It's just that easy. We'll answer all your questions, and if you're the right fit to where contractors and architects are listening to this and want to grow their business, hey, come on in. Let's grow together.
Based on your experience now with the American Institute of Steel Construction, you're getting involved in construction, you know, details. Do you have the feeling like you didn't get a lot of that in school?
I do. I think what's important about school is we got summer break, and that's when I did a lot of internships to get that practical experience. But it's been an issue. I mean, it's a great point you bring up. I think it's been an issue in architecture schools from long before when I started, and it's still continuing after. But you get a lot of great understanding about concepts, but not so much the practical side of things and the realities you face when you do a great design, or maybe you mess up a detail and somebody could come after you How do you deal with real life situations or rough clients or just trying to understand the financial side of being in business in architecture? So those are all things that I think I learned very quickly after I joined SOM, just because you're faced with kind of anything and everything in the real world. So it was a good experience then, but I think it was almost like a continuation of my education.
Love it. A little bit ago, you mentioned the hackathon and you're not afraid to try new things. But I think a few people may have heard you say the word hackathon, and they're wondering what that is. So we met you at the National AIA Convention in Philadelphia, and, you know, you just blew my socks off when you got up and presented in front of that room. And that's something that architects, I think, a lot of times struggle with, to impromptu jump up and say, now you're on the podium. Tell us about your idea today. So I'd love for you to tell us the experience of that hackathon event that we got to meet you at the happy hour after the event. So put us through what a hackathon is and what you did to let our listeners understand that.
So a hackathon, and this was my second time going to it at AIA, is basically taking some general questions or issues that we're facing. We had sort of a guide to it at AIA, Equity by Design, which was combining architecture and technology to solve real-world problems in the design industry. And so what we're doing is, I guess, hacking away at that idea and coming up with a solution. Basically, just the premise of how things went during the hackathon is we got some great inspiration from three or four panelists that were there. They gave 5-minute kind of speeches about how they were innovators in the industry or even outside the industry and how they came up with creative new ideas to solve problems. And then we were presented with a challenge, which is, you know, we have a lot of technology changing our industry now. Is architecture staying the same as it was before technology? The general questions were based on making the world of design equitable in the sense everybody has a voice or everybody has something to offer. So whether you're a woman, a man, young, old, you can put forth an idea. So there's no bars in this. And the whole purpose is to combine something, like in this case, it was architecture and technology, whether that be a mobile device, whether that be a program like building information modeling, to solve some issues that you're facing in the design industry or construction industry. That was it. It was a very loose topic, and that's how it was the first time when I tried it out the year before. It was not very defined, and it's kind of just throwing some ideas at you, giving you a few requirements to follow, and you come up with an idea with your team. So you're broken out into groups of 4 to 5 people, set with some markers and 24 by 36 pages on a board, and you let loose and you get to know each other by doing some, I guess they would call it icebreakers. So get to know each other and then find a common ground that you're all trying to overcome. In our case, we had all been through the experience of you're in a big firm and you're not really getting your voice heard. But you also know not everybody in your firm, whether it's management or people at the very top, owners of the firm, they're not necessarily taking advantage of all your skills because they just honestly don't know you or what you can do beyond, you know, your first interview to get the job. So what we were faced with was coming up with an idea to solve that using technology. And there's a few articles online now about it. We developed sort of a play on BIM, building information modeling, and came up with the idea of firm information management, which I think it's beyond just architecture, but the goal is to kind of develop a way for both the employee side, the staff side, and the owner side to communicate with each other with a platform that's internal to the organization. There were tons of great ideas at this workshop, and one of them was just using technology to educate kids in school about what architects do by creating sort of a virtual reality game. So it's all over the map, but I think it's pretty interesting that you get a group of people that don't know each other in one room. It was maybe 25, 30 of us, And within 4 hours, we'd come up with 5 or 6 ideas that anybody could take and do something with to really change the environment and progress kind of the workplace or environment that supports architecture.
No, that's awesome. And for those listening, I mean, my impression of what you guys described is very much like what you see on Shark Tank. I mean, you guys are coming together and presenting your case like you're trying to start a new business almost. And I mean, this was a competition, correct?
It is a competition. And that's not really the reason why I entered it. But that actually brings up a good point. The whole premise of what we're talking about is ways to boost your firm in front of the real workplace environment. And this is a great example of getting experience by entering a competition. But, you know, there's nothing to lose here. You might be shy. I'm actually a pretty introverted, shy person by nature, but I've sort of had to get out of my shell and speak in front of a lot of people. By doing things like this, it's actually helped me quite a bit. And I'd encourage anybody that feels a little bit like they don't know what they're facing in front of the real world, you can pretend that you're talking to a real client when you do a workshop like this and see what they say. And honestly, nothing bad comes out of it. You're just getting practice and real world experience, and you're always refining your message. Some people are really funny presenters. Some people are straight to the point or inspirational. And that's something that you learn as you do something like this. So when you said earlier, you know, I got up in front of everyone and spoke, it honestly wasn't something I was thinking we had to do. We didn't think we were going to win. But the fact that you just have to do it and you let yourself go is sometimes a great way to feel more confidence in yourself.
Did I hear you won?
Yeah, we won. We won.
Yeah,
cool.
All right.
It was so cool.
Yeah, we got to give credit where credit is due here. So you tell us the name of your group and, you know, this hackathon, where it kind of came from, how you signed up for it, so that the listeners can, if they're interested, they could kind of follow up maybe next year at the AIA show or how you got involved in this.
Sure. So a lot of what Equity by Design has generally been promoting is a word of mouth method. So they use a lot of social media. The way I heard about it was through a colleague that I work with who knew I was going to the AIA convention a couple years ago. And she said she'd heard Rosa Shing speak at, you know, an Equity by Design panel. And she was like, oh, you should check out this workshop. And I was already going. So it's a couple $100. Sometimes if I think you can win a scholarship and go for free, or if your company pays for it, which mine did, it was great. So I went a day before the actual conference started. All of this is online. When you go on AIA's website for the national conference, you can look up the schedule and basically just look for the pre-conference workshops. There's a ton of them to choose from. This one was great. I signed up for it. The first experience was almost kind of like my first studio experience in architecture school. I didn't know what it was going to be about. It's a small room of people, and you sort of get busy doing a design charrette or coming up with a creative solution. It was a lot of fun. Everyone's really nice. This year, I was just really excited about trying it again. I met a lot of great people the year before. So I signed up for it again. I think there were only one or two of us that were repeats at this. Again, we didn't think we were going to win. I didn't win the year before. I thought everyone else's ideas was just as good. It was a hard thing to choose from for the jury. But my team itself we just meshed so well at this event that I think we were able to balance each other out really well when we presented on the fly. So.
Well, it sure came across. I mean, there are two really pointed things that Devin and I noticed is one is that your group really did gel together. I mean, you guys looked like you'd been working together for weeks, not a few hours. And then as you described yourself as being shy, we never would have known that when you presented. I mean, because all of you guys had so much passion about what you were doing, and that's what came across. And I think that's one of the things that we hear a lot about with architects is that, you know, they're so focused and so passionate about what they do. Yet sometimes when it comes to communicating or presenting that, that's not something they're comfortable with. But if you let that passion take its course, it comes across like you were a professional speaker that day. I mean, that was awesome.
I did get a week of formal presentation training at AISC just because that's part of my job here. And again, I would recommend that to everybody. At first, I didn't think it would help very much, but it's honestly made a big difference for me.
Well, you know, so many people say that public speaking is a greater fear than death, but it's like anything. Once you start doing it and you practice, you take it one bite at a time. And next thing you know, you actually can enjoy it and have fun and be productive with it. So,
yeah.
And the next thing I wanted to kind of bring up and talk about is the fact that we love to bring real world stories into the concepts that we talk about. And the thing is, I'm sitting here listening to you as we want to learn more about the AISC, is you went there on behalf of the AISC to work on your business instead of just the day-to-day grind of being in your business. Just like Kevin and I went to the National AIA show because we really think we have something good with the art of construction, and that's really the reason we went there, was to work on and go around and tell the word of the art of construction. And when you got up there and did that presentation, it was like, bam, that's one that has to be on the show. We knew nothing about what you did, any background. We just heard you speak. And there's something I think you want to take to the bank about that, is when you get out and work on your business and get stronger, the old verbiage of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And we came back from, you mentioned you had never heard of the art of construction, and off air you said now you're listening to the show. That's the whole give and you will get that comes out of this and doing events like that. Wouldn't you say that you brought back something that you could take to the bank by going out and working on your business like that?
Oh, for sure. And it happens every time I go somewhere. There's something to be said about not just sitting at your desk, which I think a lot of young architects or just people that are out of the profession recently spend a lot of time doing, not getting out there. And what's been great, AISC is a big proponent of, is you have to get up and meet people. It goes beyond just picking up the phone or emailing someone. You're going out and you're making that face-to-face connection. Like I said, the fact that I met you guys in person at the show, well, it resonated with me and it gave me a memory that's real. Versus if you had just sent me, an e-blast or an email, I might not have really looked into it as much. And those are the things that happen at a forum like AIA. You know, conventions, they're there for a reason. It's more than just education. A lot of it is just networking and understanding your community. And you're not necessarily there to get projects or work all the time, but you never know where a relationship can lead you. So I think that's what's important about going to these events. And that's advice I would give to anybody that go to a show.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talked about that whole process of people on the panel and the quality. I mean, we had an opportunity to meet Rosa Shang, and it was just fascinating to hear her story and her excitement about what was going on. So overall, it just seemed like a great, great event for you guys.
It's a great event, and I think it really shows when you're excited about something, you go a little beyond and you do something about it. And everybody has a passion, and it's beyond just what you do at work or what you do at home. And so you have to find that one thing that keeps you going. And obviously with this, after meeting Rosa and understanding what they do at Equity by Design, we're actually, me and a colleague at my office are trying to do something similar in our own industry. That was all just because I participated in the event and I brought it back to my firm, and we're trying to, pave a way for making equitable practices within, the steel industry.
Yeah, I definitely want to give credit to Rosa Shang, who continues to push. It's a lot of work to put that together for the good of the industry. And you made the comment earlier of it was only you and one other person that was repeats from the year before. And I think that's something everyone should really dissect and think about as well, is that, you go to this and it's good, but it can be great if you really follow up and have a fireside chat like we're having here to really to re-spark the interest and really bring it full circle.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And the thing to know is there's a lot of people that she's impacted, that maybe I've impacted, you've impacted, and you never know where that story goes. But even if you just make a difference with one person, I think that's good enough. So.
Definitely. So let's dive in and talk a little bit more about the AISC, what you do for a day-to-day living. And I love the fact that you're an in-house licensed architect for a nonprofit, and we're seeing it on our day-to-day where we're with Mountain View Window and Door, where steel is a big part of glass houses. You know, everybody wants all glass, but you got to hold them up some way. So steel, it becomes a very integral part of all the architects to want to have the glass house with no structure. Well, how's the proper way to get that structure? And steel and windows are two critical things. And there's not less glass being put in houses. As I look, every time I pull up architects on Instagram, it's all about glass walls and modern, clean lines. Tell us about how that impacts and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Sure. What structural steel really is it's beyond cold form steel. We're talking about heavy gauge steel is what we represent in the industry. And it's for U.S. made products. So steel fabricated here in the U.S. So we're really supporting the, you know, Work America approach. AISC is a not-for-profit. It's a little different from a nonprofit. But we're representing steel fabricators in the U.S. and trying to advocate their message that it's a product that it's more than a product. I guess it's a system. It's a material that lasts for a long time. It's very flexible, like you said. You can use it for curtain walls. You can use it for glass houses. It's used for offices. Gives you clear spans. Can be a pretty thin material, but support a lot of weight. So it's kind of an interesting man-made resource, I would say. And what I do specifically at AISC is what I'm trying to find, I focus on multi-story residential. So beyond that single story or two-story house, but mid-rise to high-rise projects that would normally be using concrete, maybe some wood framing, try to explain the benefits of what steel offers on the table. So, you know, the fact that you get flexibility in spans. You can go tall. You can still get thin floors and do a low floor to floor design, but you get a speed of erection that, you know, not many people can beat because steel's a prefabricated element. Everything's made offsite, and you're just kind of erecting it like a kit of parts on site. So those are things that I think maybe during school or even outside of school, you come into practice and by building type, you sort of draw conclusions where you think certain materials can be used for certain buildings. So, you know, office buildings, it's typically known that you use steel for them. Residential, a lot of people go to concrete. But what I try and explain to people is that you can sort of take that out. Once you reach a certain story height, either steel, concrete, or some other material can apply. So this is another option to have on the table. And by learning more about it and by trying it out during design, you show your clients the due diligence that you've researched other options that'll save them money or enhance their design, which is a win-win. Even if you don't end up using one system, it's good for you to show that, hey, I've thought of everything that could be good for my design and for during construction. That's in a nutshell what I do. It's a lot of speaking with people. I present on continuing education topics. I network at these conferences. And at the end of the day, not only am I spreading this message, but I'm also listening to what everyone else has to tell me. Their experience with using this in the field, changing their design methods, using maybe more innovative systems that have steel in them, and what are ways to enhance that. And then some of those thoughts or ideas translate into research that we sponsor in-house. And those are other things that I work on over here. So it's pretty diverse. It's very interesting for me because I'm getting to do a lot of things and now getting to work with architects, not in a competitive way, but it's all part of collaboration at this point. And I get to see a lot of designs come through because another feature of what we do is we take a look at projects very early on, like in conceptual or schematic design. And if it doesn't already have a design using steel in it, I'll work with our structural engineers in-house and we'll put together a concept for those teams. So it's all free and it's a good resource. So that's basically what we do. It's a lot of helping people in the industry to do something better.
Well, that was a great explanation. We'll make sure in the show notes to give links if our valued architects want to go check that out. As I'm sitting listening to you speak, I want to ask the question as far as you were a designer, then a licensed AIA architect that now is working for the AISC. What was the biggest aha moment when you went to work there? Like, man, if I would have known this bit of information when I was back being a practicing architect, I could have really taken this to the bank with my profession.
Oh, that's a good, that's a loaded question. Well, I think the biggest thing is really having that face time. I really wish I had done more of that when I was in design. Face time both with my peers, both with consultants, and in front of clients. And I had gotten some of it, but what's really important is to get out there and start a conversation so they understand you're trying to help each other and produce something at the end of the day that makes everybody happy. No one's trying to take a design away from somebody else or compete with them or take ownership of a design that the owner doesn't agree with. The whole goal at the end of the day is do something together that produces a great project at the end. And that's something I've really learned here at AISC because we're pretty collaborative within our own departments and we all have the same goal. And honestly, we're a not-for-profit, so we don't have the same type of stresses you would face in a construction or firm or an architecture firm where you're constantly going out and getting projects to help fund your staff every year. This is a little bit different. So the fact that the business model is a little, in some ways, a little less stress on each individual bringing in business, I think is interesting, but it's given me the ability to understand how everyone has a different perspective and you have to relay your message so they understand you. Like as an architect, I still have to be able to speak well to structural engineers and get them to understand my ideas. And that was something that, yeah, if I knew I could do it this well, it would have probably made a big difference when I started out.
Excellence. Have you ever heard the word value engineer?
Oh, yes.
I ask that because I'm assuming that's something that comes into the pipeline for you guys when you're saying you have in-house engineers that help look at projects. I'm assuming a lot of stuff that's coming in to say, how could you help cut costs for both architects and contractors listening? Give us a real-world experience on how that works and how they could help take this to the bank.
That's exactly what happens a lot of the time. They're at a point in the project where you're going through the value engineering process, and it's like, how can some other material, how can some other strategy of construction reduce costs? Because that's a reality at the end of the day. I don't know of any project that's ever hit it on the head with the budget first round out. It takes a long time to get to that point. What we like to advocate is before you even get to the value engineering point, you start the collaboration of getting these tools figured out or strategies for finding the most economical solution up front. And that's that whole idea of the conceptual solutions that we offer. But we have faced situations where I think there was a project in Austin that came through, an office building. And the engineers, honestly, there were way more familiar with designing with concrete than with steel. And so they had located all their columns sort of inboard from the perimeter wall, which is something you can do fairly easily with concrete, but not a good idea, not the most efficient thing you want to do with steel. So our team of engineers, something that they thought was a pretty simple exercise here was, well, hey, just push your columns out another foot around the perimeter, and that'll save you a bunch of money in the design with a few revisions to the details. So it's a real-world story, and it's a simple solution, but not something everyone's able to think of or has the experience to do. So we'll offer something like that as an idea of simplifying the design, shaving off costs, structures, you know, a good percentage of the construction cost itself. So it's definitely something that you can always find a more economical solution.
I'm always asking my valued customers, is, you know, help me help you. What's the best way that they should get in touch with you in the process to, you know, the explanation you did as far as switching from concrete to steel? What, explain the best critical path for both you and architects to work through what you do.
So the best way is if you have a question, and I and many other people on my team have access to this one email, it's solutions@aisc.org. The best way to get in touch with us, send us an email with your question. If you're working on a project and you're not sure if the design is accurate or if there's a different way to do it by using steel and you want to explore it, we'll give you a call after you send us an email with an inquiry and get some plans from you, some basic constraints on what you're trying to do. And then we go forward from there with developing a solution and giving some guidelines to you. So solutions@aisc.org is the easiest way. We typically respond same day and can get you the information you need within 2 days to 2 weeks max. So that's our way of helping out people in the industry. The other thing that I think might be interesting for listeners to know is we do offer a lot of continuing education, and you get free lunch. That's something I'm sure you guys do pretty often. I like to get in front of people, and if anybody wants to reach out to me, it's shot@aisc.org. I think we'll probably have it on your website, where they can send me an email, and I'd be happy to either come in person or send one of our regional engineers out to them, and we can either do a real one-hour continuing ed session or just do a sit-down meeting. It's all a part of what we do as an industry, and the goal at the end of the day, it's really just a benefit for architects, engineers, developers, and contractors.
Awesome. One of the things that we always, with that kind of background, we always like to ask is, what was your most unique project in the last, say, 12 months or so?
One interesting project, it's actually more recent. So I went to a firm and presented on using steel for residential, you know, multi-story residential buildings. And they were looking for a solution to save space within their floor plan. And they couldn't find a good spot for concrete shear walls, which was pretty standard to use for their core. So what we've done is we took the approach of looking at using steel plate shear walls, which are much thinner. They're like 1/4 inch, maybe up to a 1/2 inch thick. It provides the same lateral bracing, basically thin plates of structural steel. And so I would say that's something that even I, as a designer, didn't even know was an option when I was working, practicing architecture. And these guys didn't have the experience to really know how to design one. So I thought it was a cool way to do something a little bit different, but give them the benefit of using something that saves a lot of space. And we know square footage counts in every project, so you're always looking to gain back that area. Actually, very often don't know if some of our ideas or solutions are implemented, but typically we'll find out a few years later after it's constructed if they went forward with it or not.
I'm curious from that explanation, as far as you're saying only 1/4, 1/2 inch thick, obviously it's not a chase where you're running anything through that wall, but do they just leave that steel exposed, or are they putting, how is the finished wall typically done when you're using that as the structure?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, typically for a core wall, you do have to protect it for fire, and steel does have that added element of needing fire protection when it's a structural element. So for this, there's a couple ways to handle it. You can either spray on fire protection, which gives you some more flexibility in the future if you want to change the finish of the wall outboard of it, or you can add fire-rated gypsum board around the steel plate shear wall. So it will thicken up when you do something like that. So you're adding some metal studs and gyp board around each side to give it that fire protection.
So you can't plant fire-rated gypsum board directly to the steel. You got to use studs to in the cavity.
Typically, you want to use studs just to separate both elements. Another thing that I've heard done, I've never seen myself, is forming up walls around the steel plate shear wall and pouring in concrete. So you're almost creating a sandwich where you're using two materials to give that structural capacity. But then because concrete is directly adhered to the steel plate shear wall, it gives that fire protection as well.
Great. Well, the point of that question was just to say that every job is different and unique. So if you want to get another perspective like she's talking about, I'd highly recommend all our valued listeners to just get a take from you guys with the solutions at AISC.org. And sometimes from a different perspective, I see that every day when we're collaborating. I love the word collaboration when we have an architect and the builder and everybody working, you know, in our showroom at Mountain View Window and Door. Really good things come out of that, and it's usually instead of just taking what's the lower price, you take the value engineer for the good of the cause or the whole project, and a lot better circumstance comes out of that.
Yeah, I think that's great. And another point I think I'd like to make is the fact that we have so many resources around us, and I think I've really learned that once I've flipped to the resource side of the design world, that as an architect, as an engineer, contractor, you don't have to learn everything on your own. You really just need to go to the expert that already knows it and use them as a resource, and that only benefits your design. So it's not just AISC. There's a ton more out there, but I would really recommend that all listeners take advantage of researching who can help you first, because there are a lot of experts out there in the field now.
Well, that was a great description of your most unique project. One of the things that we find is we feel like we always learn most from those that are the hardest. So what would you say was the most challenging project that you've done in the last year or so?
This is a real built project. Our office at AISC is moving to a new space in a week. And so when I joined AISC a little over a year ago, they were actually really excited to have an architect in-house because that gave them some representation with the architects we hired. But the unique part about it was I had to learn a lot about how us as an organization operated when it was like my first week on the job, and project out 10 years to 15 years of how we would operate in the future so we could lay out a space.
So what with was a couple cool, days of experience.
Sure, yeah, why not? And I hadn't, you know, I'd done a little bit of interior fit out before, which never really through the amount that I'd been involved with on this project. So what was great was I'm now actually a part of a project where I got to help with the design. We've been overseeing the construction. And I actually get to live and work, not live, but work in the space that I've been helping with design, which is something I think most architects rarely get to be a part of. It'll probably in some ways drive me crazy because I'm sure I'll think of things that I wish we had done differently all the time. But at the same time, I'm hoping that a lot of the stuff that we thought about during design will actually come true, and I'll actually learn a lot from this process by experiencing it. So I would say that's probably the most unique experience I've had, and it wouldn't have happened unless I'd joined AISC and they'd needed to move into this new space. So I'll let you guys know in a week how our move process is going. Yeah.
When it gets released, we'll make sure we get pictures of the process kind of from design to fruition. But, you know, I definitely think I commend this organization. And one question I'd have is the money always has to come from somewhere. Where's the funding come from for your organization?
So a large portion of the funding comes from fabricators in the U.S. themselves. So we have AISC member fabricators that a portion of the amount of tons they produce, that money goes towards their membership in our organization. So, in fact, it's kind of all fabricators being a part of one organization to help either research, provide technical assistance. We produce the steel design manual. quite a few things for the industry, but it's on their behalf, so people use steel the right way or are encouraged to use steel, and that's from the market development perspective. So that's where the funding comes from, and then another portion of it is we do basically quality assurance or quality checks with our certification process. So if you ever see AISC certification or certified in your specs, that's because you're trying to make sure the steel comes from a certified resource. So it's definitely more cash flow coming from that end. And all of it goes through, you know, an annual budget that we produce of how we divide our funding and the programs we put in place to keep, you know, the organization going.
Gotcha. I got to tell one more real world story. As far as a couple weeks ago, we had brought 22 customers back to Anderson Windows in Bayport, Minnesota. And there was a builder on the group that had just moved to where we're out of, is Denver, Colorado, from New York area. And we were the second night in, and the collaboration was just fantastic between the architects and the builders. And he goes, you know, I moved out here, and all I've ever done is traditional building, where, you know, all I've ever used is traditional 400 series windows. And I come out here to Denver, and all everybody says is modern glass house. He's like, Devin, I don't have a clue how to build. I wanted to move here, and now I'm here. And I'm like, man, any insight would help. Well, when it comes to the glass house, structure and steel and bearing, all that, to me, steel and windows, the window manufacturers and suppliers and organizations like you guys to get the right specs, the right sizing, and have it all be right on paper, the tolerances are just not there on these modern designs. So a guy like him, to me, this should be a resource that he should be all over with you guys to don't expect what you don't inspect. So as he's, you said, you don't have to be an expert about everything. He should say, okay, I want to do this spec home, get the right architect, get the right thing, get it right on paper. But then he should send it off to you guys and say, is this how you would do it? And kind of get your 2 cents on the deal, and that peace of mind, I think, would really go a long ways. What would you say to that?
I would say for sure. I think that's the thing. Not everyone gets to work on every project using every material, right? So going right to the source where you can get that expertise, where there's 75 to 80 years worth of experience around us in this organization, I think it's a huge benefit, and we can always direct you to the right source if we can't help ourselves. So
love it. I, you know, it's been so fun to be the host of the Art of Construction, because every time we bring somebody into Studio MBWD, we learn so much. And, you know, this big world can come, and it comes so small, but just by going to an event at the AIA show, you jumping up in front of all these people and knocking it out of the park, and here we are, you know, in an hour fireside chat, we now know a bunch more about the AISC, and hopefully all our contractors and architects listening out there really have another resource to help them grow their business. So as a learning organization on the Art of Construction, if there's one thing you want to leave with everybody, what is that?
I think every day you should do something you've never done before. And whether that's meeting somebody new, emailing somebody, or going to a new place, trying to get a new skill, it's going to help you out in some way in the future. And I'd really recommend that. There's never anything wrong with trying anything new, because the worst case is it doesn't work out, but so what? You do something new the next day.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming into Studio MBWD and telling your story. We look forward to many more times meeting at AIA conventions, and I may have to try this hackathon next year.
Yeah, you totally should. It's a great experience. I love what you guys do on the show, and appreciate that you guys also have a passion that you're sharing with everybody else. So thanks for having me on the show, and I look forward to staying in touch with you guys.
I knew she would be a great guest when I heard her jump in front of the crowd and just knock it out of the park when they impromptu said, the winner is, and come on up and do the speaking. And she was the leader of the group, did a great job, and what a well-spoken individual that it was such an honor to have her into Studio MBWD.
Well, and just to set that stage, I mean, they had gone through this whole process and basically closed-door meetings. We come to this event where they're going to announce the winner. So it's kind of a happy hour kind of an environment, and they're waiting to hear who the winner is going to be. And as a part of the announcement, they have to describe to the group what their business plan was and how they won. So they had to kind of do it all over again. And boy, they just did an amazing job. It was phenomenal. And Jay Shree was kind of the leader of the group, and it was exciting to see and hear.
And every fireside chat that we have in Studio MVWD, it's so cool that I can leave here and say, daily, I'm dealing with structure and steel and ways to make it work. Now I have that a golden ticket that I can give you valued contractors and architects, a resource that, like she said, 80 years of combined experience, that's all they do is steel. And we always say, you general contractors and architects, you have to be the jack of all trades. And that term kind of goes along with master of none. But what the point of this whole thing on the art of construction, like she said, is to use them. You don't have to be an expert on everything. Surround yourself around good people that you like and trust, that we say every show. And solutions@AISC.org, I would definitely highly recommend everybody putting that into your Rolodex. I said Rolodex. Into your whatever system you use. Use Jay Shree. And the easy button for that would just to be go to the show notes, and we'll have all that information there that you can transfer into your systems.
Well, and the perfect example she described of that is the Austin office project, where they were primarily designing with concrete and were looking for ways to value engineer and incorporate steel, and they provided a solution for that. For somebody that didn't have the background and wasn't using steel on a regular basis, so this is the perfect opportunity for them to go to an organization of experts to get an idea of what they could do to better their own project.
Well, another one that we knocked it out of the park, Kevin, where we're helping people truly grow their business. This show that's global and timeless, another great resource for you to help bring your business to the next level. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And if you know anyone else that wants to tell their story, have them hit us up at theartofconstruction.net.
We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.